Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us today for OK Boomer, Teach Me Sales. I'm Kelly Bloomer.
And I'm Tom Bloomer.
OK, Tom, you're our sales pro. In 30 words or less, can you tell us about this podcast?
I'm going to try. You know, us salespeople like to talk, Kelly.
You sure do.
All right, 30 words or less.
Can you do it?
Well, if you're a sales pro and you're looking to grow in your sales career, if you like good, lively sales discussion, I think this is going to be a show for you. I've walked your walk for over 30 years in sales. I've knocked on the doors and overcome the same obstacles I think you may be facing as a seller, a sales manager, and as a VP of sales. I currently help assess, build, and train high-performing media sales teams. Well, Kel?
Yeah, you really went over 30 words.
But I think it was good.
I do too.
Okay, so I hope our listeners will be all set. And hey, let's roll up our shirt sleeves and let's get at it.
So enjoy listening to Tom and his guests talk sales.
Hi, this is Kayla from South Jersey. OK Boomer, teach me sales.
All right, we are really proud to have Prateek Mathur with us today. Prateek is the founder of Manager Enablement. Did I get that right?
Yes, you sure did, Tom.
All right, I know we're gonna talk a lot about that today, so you're gonna get a chance to really tell us a lot about what you have there. But we've known each other through LinkedIn now for a few months. I enjoy going through your content. I like your Monday motivations on a Sunday evening. I like that approach, and I'm a big motivational guy. I love reading motivational stuff, and that's always meant a lot to me as I've gone through my career. So I don't know if everybody's thanking you, but I want to thank you for your Monday motivations that you put out. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what is Manager Enablement?
Sure. Well, thank you once again for having me here today, Tom. I've been in sales all of my life. It's been a good 17 years that I've spent within sales. I really don't know how to do anything else, and I don't ever see myself doing anything else.
It's the greatest thing once it's in your blood, right? You just love it.
I just absolutely love it. You know what I mean? I would love to say that I forced myself into sales, but you know, now that I look back at my career, I think it was just meant to be. 17 years ago, I had the great opportunity to work for Coca-Cola, the large Coca-Cola here, but the startup Coke starting in India, or restarting, I should say, rather, in India. And I had the opportunity to work with them through, you know, through channel marketing, through key account, through, through just actual, you know, door-to-door sales. And honestly, I owe that job a lot. I learned a lot about sales out there. And fast forward so many years, what I found today is that over these so many years, you know, fortunately, I've been able to grow within my career. And what I realized was that there are a lot of, you know, aspiring first-line sales managers and a lot of newer sales managers who aren't really given the right type of skill development that they need to be really successful. And, although I would like to believe that I've been successful, the way that I've developed Manager Enablement is to be a platform where I'm able to connect these sales folks who aspire to be great leaders one day with existing sales leaders who have gone through the grind, who've learned through their mistakes and are now either, you know, running global sales organizations or are at the peak of their career at that VP of sales or the director of sales, as in that title. I just think practical experience is the best way to learn. And, this is what I've developed today.
So you're very passionate about what you're doing.
I love what I'm doing. I'll be honest with you, Tom. Sometimes just that simple thank you that I get from some of these sales managers, you know, who are able to have these unbiased conversations with sales leaders is the greatest thing that I get and the greatest gratification, you know, that I get. And, you know, and at the end of the day, if I'm able to affect, and as cliched as this sounds, but if I'm able to affect even one sales manager through their career, I think I've done my job.
Fantastic. And, you know, I've worked with a lot of people moving into sales management over the years. And, you know, I can count on one hand the number that really didn't want to be good at it. You know, almost everyone, when they're first going into management, I'm not sure exactly what they envision sales management to be, but they're hopeful, they're excited, and they would always tell me, I want to be good at it. You know, I want to be able to help. I really want to help people. But so many of them, like you said, they don't have that basic training. They're really not sure how to do it. But boy, they want to. So I imagine that a lot of the people you're talking to are very appreciative when you show them what they can do.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, this honestly stems from my experiences. I mean, the first time that I was promoted as a first line sales manager, you know, I still remember my manager then coming to me and saying, "Hey, Prateek, you know, you've done well selling yourself. How about teaching others and how about helping others grow?" And I was like, "Well, you know, if you believe in me, I believe in me, and let's do it." So I took on that role, and you know, I quickly realized how different it is from what I imagined it to be. What I imagined it to be was to be a role where I'm able to, you know, help other people get better at sales, help other people grow their own sales career. And while part of that remains true, what was different was, and this is what I think a lot of people tend to not realize, is that I was actually responsible for the livelihoods of 14 families. And I never really thought of it that way. I thought it was just my 14 guys and I'm going to help them grow and I'm going to help them sell. And, you know, that was a different level of pressure. And I was fortunate.
There's some sleepless nights there.
I'm sorry?
There's some sleepless nights there, right? That's a whole lot to think about there.
Absolutely. And, you know, yes, there were a lot of sleepless nights. And, you know, again, I was fortunate to have had a manager who, you know, who is still a mentor to me, and it's been so many years, but, you know, I was fortunate to have someone like that who I could have open and honest conversations with, and learn from them. And, you know, and now what I've basically found is that, you know, while yes, there is a relationship that you can build with your manager, there are so many things that you cannot really speak with them about. And, you know, I feel fortunate that I had that one manager, but I know after that, you know, I've fallen into that same trap wherein which there are so many conversations that I cannot have.
Well, and I think you hit on something very important, because, you know, you're telling us how you felt. You have these 14 people that you're managing and 14 families that, you know, you now have some responsibility for. Not every manager feels that. So, you know, that's a I don't know if you want to call that a behavior or a certain skill set, but do you think, is that one of the key things that maybe differentiates between some types of managers? Because we would love every manager to care at that level, but I don't know that everyone does. What has your experience shown you on that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I don't think everyone really does. And you know, I was able to learn from a good manager who sort of, you know, taught me this thing that, hey, that you're not just responsible for those individuals, but actually responsible for the entire family. After that, I'd had a few managers who really couldn't care less. And, you know, and it showed. And it actually showed in the way their teams were performing, because there was no level of empathy. There was no level of care. It was all about, all right, hey, this is what our goal is for the month. Tell me what your plan is. It was more about what the other person is going to do rather than how can I help you get to your goals. And those goals may be actually beyond what the company has set for me. Right? And, you know,
they don't always match, right?
They absolutely don't always match. You know what I mean? In whichever individual contributor roles that I've been in those roles, I've had different goals for myself. You know, I mean, I've had, like, for example, that I still remember, you know, I was fortunate to have been able to, you know, finish my annual quota by, you know, by like July-ish. And I still remember like my manager coming to me and saying, hey, well done, you know, that you're ahead of the pack. I'm like, I'm actually not. And, you know, and she was like, what do you mean? I was like, my goals are actually a whole lot different. I need to achieve a certain X level, not because I am better or not because that's what will make me feel good, but that's what I want for myself, you know, both professionally as well as financially.
I've worked with people and, you know, you'll sit down and say, well, I don't see you spending a lot of time with Mary. Well, you know, Mary's fine. You know, she's hitting her numbers. She's great. And then suddenly Mary leaves. And what you find out is the manager said, hey, she's hitting what I needed, but that's not what Mary needed. You know, she had certain goals, like you're saying, maybe she needed a certain level of commission to pay her bills for what she wanted to achieve. If that manager's not in tune helping Mary where she wants to get, you know, this is going to be a problem somewhere down the road.
Yeah. You know, I found, and I'm not sure, you know, whether you had the same experiences, but what I found is that a lot of managers tend to spend more time in sort of, you know, getting their C players to the B level rather than really focusing on the, you know, the B plus and the A minus folks, because they feel, again, you know, I mean, just as you said, they are reaching their goals, so they should be fine. But when you're able to focus on those B level players and try to get them up to the next level, what you'll find is that you will now suddenly have a team that's actually working so well and such, and have built such a great relationship together and are learning together because now everyone wants to get to that A plus level. I'm not sure what your experience has been there.
Yeah, no, we could spend an entire afternoon talking A, B's and C's and how do you do that? That's always one of my favorite topics, but you're 100% correct. They're spending time and a lot of times it's not even the manager's fault. You know, the manager often is dealing with what's working downhill to them, you know, and it's like, all right, hey, you've got three C performers. You either get them up, you know, this quarter or they got to go. So yeah. As a manager, all right, I got to spend my time here, even though they could maybe have a much better quarter themselves. If they were taking, like you said, their B people, they may have a lot more room to grow. Their A people could have room to grow, but they just don't have the bandwidth because they're focusing so much over here. So yeah. One of the things I love that you talk about is helping managers learn and get stronger. Because so many don't learn, you know, how to juggle those things and how to prioritize who do you spend your time with as you go through. And, you know, as you're talking through, it's given me thoughts of something else we could probably debate for an entire afternoon. But, you know, you hear a lot about company culture.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people right now that specialize in that they come in and they're going to show a company, here's how we improve your culture. Here's how we make your people happier and more productive. But I've learned over the years, company culture, it goes from manager to manager. You could have a terrible company culture, but you're going to have a couple managers there that their teams are productive and happy. Life is good because the manager is instilling that culture. So is that something that you work on that you see happening as well?
I see that happening so often. I think, you know, like in the last couple of years, I'd say maybe the last... say 6-7 years, I think there's been a lot of, you know, shift towards building the right culture. And honestly, initially, I didn't quite understand what that meant because, you know, maybe I was just, you know, maybe, I mean, I just had my blinders on in terms of, all right, I have to get the team up and I need to get their quota there. But what I realized over time is that that's the culture that I was developing for my team. You know, and
you just assumed everybody else was doing it, right?
Exactly. And, you know, and what you learn over time, you know, I mean, just as you said, culture starts top down and culture starts, you know, as well as in bottom up. But most importantly, it is your first line manager who's actually taking that culture forward. You know, it is your first line manager who is ensuring that the types of people that they bring in to the organization are the folks, you know, who are going to thrive, not only survive, but they're going to thrive because that's the culture that he or she has built, you know, within the organization. So absolutely, I think company culture is one of the most important things. In fact, one of the things that I've also seen like in the last couple of years is is like ensuring that you're hiring for the right type of people. And one of the things that I've seen, in fact, I mean, at my last organization, I think they did this really well, when they wanted to hire for someone, say within sales, they would not only bring the sales leaders and, you know, as well as the first line sales managers in, but they would also bring the cross-functional folks in. Because at the end of the day, in sales, if you really want to get a deal ahead, you're not going to do it on your own. You're going to do it with everyone. And that includes folks within, you know, customer success and account management and, you know, folks within finance, et cetera. Because again, you know, that's what we do. When we build proposals, we build proposals not individually, but we do it as a team. And, you know, and I found that approach to be super successful.
Yeah. If you can't work with a manager so that they can exist with the other parts of their team, they're going to have a real hard time working with their team probably as well. And then their team may have difficulties with all those other people that are involved in the process. So let me ask you, one of the things I'm always intrigued by, and I think you really dig deep into it, is to enable a manager to get them the help they're looking for, especially a new manager. Do they need a coach, or do they need a mentor? What is that the same thing? Are there differences? What is most important, and how does someone get that?
Yeah. You know, this is the one thing that I've been juggling with the last couple of months, and I've seen so much talk of it on LinkedIn in terms of a coach versus a mentor. For me personally, when I think of a coach, what I think of a coach as, you know, someone who is going to help me with the day-to-day, who's going to get me better from a skill perspective. When I think of a mentor, I think of a mentor as someone who is long-term, who's associated with me for the long term. As I mentioned, like one of my first few managers is someone who I consider as a mentor and someone, you know, I mean, who I'm still in touch with, and it's been for the last 15, 16 years. So I think there is definitely like a slight distinction between a mentor as well as a coach. Now, that being said, can a mentor be a skill-based coach? Absolutely. Definitely that can happen. Can a coach turn into a mentor over the long term? Absolutely. But one of the things about being a first line manager, I think as you are growing within your career, one of the things that you truly need is someone who you can have an unbiased conversation with. Because think of it this way, and again, going back to my experience, when I got promoted, there were so many things that I could speak about and so many things that I could not. And those things that I could not speak about are the things that I needed someone else to talk to,
mm-hmm.
right? And in reality, what happens is those other things are things like, you know, how do I manage my boss? How do I manage sideways? You know, those are things like, you know, I am struggling with forecasting, but my boss thinks that I know how to forecast. And yes, I do to a certain extent, but I'm still, you know, and I should ideally be within the 3-5% range, but I'm actually 15% off and I don't know how to do it the right way.
And you don't want to go to your supervisor for these type of things, right?
Absolutely not. And you know, and then also, I mean, I think one of the things that, you know, that I've also seen is, yes, you are coming from a sales background. Yes, you have sold yourself, but now it's about building pipeline for everybody, for the 5, 10, 15, 20 people that you have. And one size does not fit all. You know, so how do you really ensure that everyone is building pipeline the right way and is building the right pipeline, right, more than anything else? And I think that is where you need someone else who you can speak to. Mm-hmm. Now, in my experience, I was able to find that someone else. And that's the one thing that I've ensured, that as I was building up this platform, I was ensuring that I was sort of helping these first line sales managers to connect with people who've been there and have done it and can have those unbiased conversations, you know, and can help them and can guide them with, for example, and again, you know, it's not saying, hey, show me your data so that I can help you forecast. No, it's about, this is, when you think about forecasting, this is how you do it. You know, so it's more of a step-by-step guide.
And I think you hit on something really important, because you said it's not a one size fits all. So if you were a successful seller, it could have been you could care less about forecasting. You knew you had a pipeline, but it didn't matter, because you're just running around crazy. You're doing deals, and you knew that at the end of the month, at the end of the quota, you were going to be in really good shape. Well, if that's your selling style, and now you're managing a team of people, and some of them, that's not the way they're working. You don't know a different style, right? Yeah. You never learned how do I only know how I manage me.
Yeah.
I now have to manage people who aren't like me. And you need somebody to show you and say, well, you know what? They need something different. And we just don't know that out of the gate, right? I know how to make me better. I never learned how to make six other people better.
Absolutely. Guess what was one of my first mistakes as I was promoted? Just that. Hey, if I can do it, why can't you? And that, now when I look back, that was one of the most silliest things that I could have ever said. But I still see that happening today. Newer managers who are just promoted are you know, have also said, hey, if I can do it, why can't you? This is the way I have done it. This is how you should do it. But the faster that you realize that one size does not really fit all is when you are really able to, well, number one, get to know your teams better, understand where they need that additional support, and then are really be, you know, I mean, then only can you really walk in their shoes and help them to understand how you really go about their day-to-day. And at the end of the day, if your team is successful, if your individuals are doing what they're supposed to be doing, is when you are successful. You are not successful on your own as a first line manager ever.
No, unless you really want to go crazy, right? But I've seen some managers that they just try to do everything themselves.
Yeah.
And you know, they may be able to fake it out for a little while, but long term that's just not going to work.
Absolutely.
So how does somebody, like, when does somebody come to the realization that, you know what, I need a mentor. I need somebody to show me this. And it's not going to come from my supervisor. I need to look elsewhere. How do they realize that? And then how do you kind of get them started?
Yeah. So most first line managers who usually reach out are folks who've been a first line manager for maybe a year odd. And in that first year itself, they can quickly start seeing some of the gaps that they have. And that is when they also quickly start realizing that there are so many things that you really cannot speak about. What happens, I think, as you are promoted, and again, this was my experience too, I can do it. My boss believes in me, I believe in me, I'm gonna make it happen. And suddenly, you know, you start realizing that it's not as simple as you envisioned it to be.
Salespeople have pretty big egos,
yeah.
Right? So it's not easy for us to realize, hey, I need help. I can't do this.
Absolutely. And that's what I found in the last, couple of months that I've been doing this full time, that folks, you know, who've been a first line sales manager for at least like a year is when they really start realizing that they don't really know a lot of things and that they need outside help for someone to just like guide them through it. And, you know, and that guidance could be a simple 60-minute conversation around a particular topic. I'm on LinkedIn. I've had, folks reach out to me through LinkedIn. But again, you know what I mean? From my perspective, I really want to ensure that they understand that they need help. I think that's the first thing. If they don't understand that they need help, then I will not be able to help them, nor will the bench of sales leaders, you know, that I have be able to help them. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, also, obviously, you know, then it's really about understanding, what type of help, do they really need? I mean, from my perspective, the sales leaders that I've been able to fortunately, get here on the platform are folks
who are, yes, great at the leadership aspect of it, but are also very tactical and are great at the strategy and the execution piece. And that's when they can also help with, you know, for example, managing up, down, sideways, you know, managing your, you know, like your teams, you know, understanding pipeline, understanding forecasting, understanding, you know, all your day to day.
Hey, listeners, it's Kelly Bloomer here to tell you the show is brought to you by Bloomer Associates. If you visit our website found in your show notes, you'll find we offer sales training, talent assessment for hiring and team development, and individual coaching for sales pros and managers. We bring over 30 years in media sales and leadership experience. If you enjoy listening to OK Boomer, Teach Me Sales, ask how our team can work with your sales team for virtual meetings, roundtables, and motivational seminars. You can contact us through our website or call today, 919-267-9871. Now back to our show.
Now, how about, let's talk about the human part.
Yeah.
Talking about that in the beginning. Some managers I find are very good at managing product. You know, they're very good at making the sale. They can go out and really help a sales rep close a sale and do that part. But they struggle on the people end. Do you find that the mentoring, does that help more on the people management end or on the product management end? Or do you assume, okay, they can manage the product? Are you spending a lot of the effort on helping them manage the people? Or is it all just one thing?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, what I found is that, yes, you know, that, I mean, that if you know your product well, absolutely, that you can sell it. But that being said, you know, if you're a good salesperson, yes, you can sell anything. But that being said, managing people, that's where people need the most help. As well as the tactical side to it, right? And the tactical side is, how do I really show up? The tactical side is, you know, how do I find those gaps within my current organization that I can help fill up or that I can help fulfill so that I can take my organization just a few steps ahead, right? How do I take on those additional projects that sort of help me put myself like in a situation where I would be able to get them fulfilled and help me put myself like in a situation where I'm able to also, for lack of a better word, get the limelight, you know, so that I'm able to grow further within my career. So, you know, I mean, yes, I think a lot of managers, yes, that do come to me need a lot more help from the leadership angle of it, from the people management side of it, but also, you know, from the tactical side of things.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, you're talking about a couple of interesting things. Let's say somebody's listening right now and they're in sales and they're like, I want to get into leadership. I want to become a sales manager. That's what I'm aspiring to. Any advice? You've been down this road. Anything special they should be doing to line up for that next promotion to get seen in the proper light there?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, I mean, obviously the number aspect of it, I mean, as in that's a given, right? I mean, yes, the numbers have to be there. You have to be able to get to your quota every month, every quarter, all of that good stuff. Yes. But besides that, yeah, absolutely. Number one. Yep. But besides that, you know, how are you really showing up every day? So from an organization's perspective, and I think, you know, there are two sides to it. One is, you know, how are you working cross-functionally? How are you finding those gaps within the organization that you can help fill? How are you finding newer projects within the organization? And these projects could be simple things like, you know, product innovation, simple things like process, right? That if you think of it, there are a lot of processes that are needed, but a lot more that are just not needed. And, you know, can you sort of help in leading a project that can help to cut down some things like this, you know, cut down some of these bottlenecks, for example. So that's, you know, so that's one side to it. But I think like the second side to it, and I think that's the most important side to it, is understanding and having that understanding that it's no longer about you. Now, are you ready to put yourself in that situation when it's no longer about you? Then yes, management could be the next step for you. And beyond all of this, you know, so you've hit your numbers, you've been able to find projects, you've been able to, you know, shine, you've been able to have your C-level folks look at you and they're just like, wow, this could be the next person internally that you've sort of compartmentalized that, yes, everyone else is greater. The one big piece that I found that managers don't really do is that they make it known. You have to tell your bosses that you want that next role. You know, you will not get what you don't ask for, right? So you have to be able to go to your manager's manager and say, hey guys, this is what I really want. This is all the things, or rather, these are all the things that I've done. Yes, I've hit my goals. Yes, I have helped my team get to their goals. Yes, I've been able to coach my team, all of that good stuff. Here's what I've been doing from an organization's perspective. Here are some of the relationships that I've built. You know, for example, I've built a customer advisory board, for example. Here it is. And then I'm also ready for it. So you need to be able to also communicate that upwards to ensure that when the next opportunity arises, you are one of the first few people that they think of.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I've seen so many people, they say, you know, I can't believe they didn't come to me with that opportunity.
Yeah.
But the company just didn't realize that they were even looking for that, interested. And people need to realize these conversations are happening. It might be one level up. It might be two level up. You know, every year companies are planning, okay, what do we do here? How are we growing? Who are we grooming? You want to be in those conversations. Like you said, you know, you're a salesperson. Talk, you know, let people know what you want to do.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, going back to the last organization that I was at, I still remember every, I'd say 2 months, my manager, would like ask me, how's it going individually? Let's talk individual now. Forget team goals, forget problems that you have, all that stuff, you know, that we can sort out. But let's talk individually. And that would also help me to actually put myself back in a situation where I was, you know, working with my team in that manner so that I knew exactly what they wanted to achieve in their careers, but how I could help them achieve that, you know, as in their career goals today. And, that's one of the things that I think like my last manager did extremely well, you know, when which she would reach out every few months and like, all right, now let's talk individual. And that was just like fantastic.
Yeah, that's got to be, there's job one.
Yeah.
Now there's step one, right? Yep. That you got to put into place. So let me ask you, you talked about how when you first went into management and you know, it's a cold reality. All of a sudden you have all these things you have to worry about, all these 14 families and things. Is there anything else that upper management typically doesn't tell us when we first get promoted into management? Any other things that we don't know going in that we should know?
Yeah. I think upper management makes a lot of assumptions when they either hire from outside or when they either promote. And those are correct assumptions. That's the reason why you promoted or that's the reason why you've hired. But I think, upper management doesn't really get into the nitty gritties of it. So some of the things that I learned the hard way, and I'll say the hard way, was, you know, how do I get the deal of one of my team members through to the next stage? And that is, you know, it comes down to how do I work with my finance team? How do I work with my legal team to not only build on that relationship, but actually make my work happen? That's one of the things that I think a lot of folks, you know, I mean, like, need to know. I think another thing also that I see is, you know, from like a product perspective, if there are certain gaps within the product, how am I able to let my product teams know that there is a a certain gap. And that only happens when you're able to get actual factual customer feedback. Now, can you connect your product people with, for example, your customers? Yes, you can. And, you know, and that's where you can get actual feedback. And I think, you know, one thing that I found that a lot of managers don't necessarily speak about, you know, at the time that they, you know, that they promote their teams, is really how to manage your career now that you're at that step. And yes, that takes some time, and yes, you know, career, you know, as in career growth doesn't happen overnight. But are you able to put a plan in place today itself that, for example, if today you're a first line manager, how do I get to that next level so that you're always working towards something greater than you?
Mm-hmm. Now, I think that's important. And not only for the individual who maybe is working with you on with a mentor or something like that individually, but for also companies. I've worked with a number of people that, you know, maybe they were a first line manager. And they would spend a lot of effort thinking, how do I get to be that next? And maybe the role they're in is really the perfect role for them.
Yeah.
So instead of just really excelling in your role, this is the role you were kind of made to do. You like it. You're good at it. You know it. You could do this for the next 15 years and be very happy. But sometimes people want to get into that next role, and that's maybe not the right role for them, you know, as you're going up. So do you see a lot of that, that you have to help kind of coach people into understanding what's even best for them?
Yeah, I can actually speak of that, you know, from my personal experience too. My wife, who has been at her organization for the last 14 years now, you know, she started within operations. And she always had that itch to be within sales. She moved to sales within her first, if I remember correctly, I think it was the first 3 years. And she had that ambition to move to the next level, which was management. And, you know, I remember coaching her through this, where I was like, are you sure you really want to go to that next level? And, you know, it was really understanding the why behind it. And the why was more about the social aspect of it, that that's just how things should be. And, you know, how can I just be at this one level? And the real question was, do you enjoy what you do? Do you wake up every morning enjoying what you do? Yes, you will have good days, and yes, you'll have bad days, but do you enjoy, do you thrive in that role, you know, that you really want to be in? And, you know, as compared to, you know, can you manage other people's situations? And I hate to use the word issues, but can you manage other people's issues? It sort of got to a point where she realized that this was the right role for her. And I've seen that personally happen for her. I've seen that happen with a lot of my friends, a lot of my colleagues, some of the folks that also, doesn't want to work here, within the program. It's also helping them understand, are you sure that that is what you really want? And it's really understanding the why behind it. I think once you're able to understand the why behind it, the person itself can sometimes, and at most times, appreciate that that could be the best role for them.
Yep. And like you said, so often people just assume, right?
Yeah.
I love what I'm doing. I'm making good money. I can do this. I'm really good at it. But there's somewhere that they're taught, well, once you get that, you're supposed to go here. Well, there's no law that says you have to go here. If you like it, you love it, this is where you're supposed to be. You know, I've worked with some reps that had been in sales, great experience. They'd been doing it for 25 years. They wanted nothing to do with management.
Yeah.
Why? Why go through all those headaches and all that stress when you're already happy? So, I know one of the things you were posting about recently was annual performance reviews and things like that. Yeah. And you know, I look at it from the manager standpoint, that there's something that you go through every year and there's good things that can come out of it. But I'm also fascinated from the individual standpoint. You know, to me, you know, each individual needs to be doing their own evaluation. You know, how am I doing? What could I be doing? And I would think that would lead potentially a lot of managers to you when they kind of do their own evaluation. Here's where I'm at. Here's where I want to go. And now I need somebody to help me get there. So,
yeah, I've honestly been surprised by the polls, you know, that I've done like the last 3 weeks. I had done one, I think 3 weeks ago, which is about performance improvement plans. I was absolutely surprised by the results of that, which, if I remember correctly, it was close to 70% that found that performance improvement plans don't really improve performance. And yes, you know, last week that I'd done the one about annual performance goals. About annual performance reviews. And, you know, that's been like a similar result. Most folks who have responded back, what I found is that, again, 60 to 70% of them feel that annual performance reviews don't really matter and they don't really drive your performance. But yes, you know, I think one of the biggest pieces is when you're within sales, or what I'd say when you're within any career or any function that you're working in, if you have that in you to be able to step back and really review your performance and really review your career trajectory, I think you've already put yourself like on a different level. Most folks don't do that. And I think most folks don't do that because they are probably afraid to see the holes, you know, and I wish more people would, you know, will I take a step back to just like really evaluate where they are within their careers. At that stage, is that really the right career move? Are they really at the right level for themselves as they had expected it to be? And at that point in time is when you can really find those gaps. And those gaps, they don't really have to be related to, I thought that by now I would be a VP of sales. No, those gaps could be just simple skills that can help me get to that VP of sales goal.
Ultimately, get them where they want to go.
Yeah.
You know, it may be different if we all had a master's in sales management, you know, and in sales. And most people that get into sales, they didn't have that type of training. You know, they haven't spent 4 years studying and understand, just like the annual performance review.
Yeah.
9 out of 10 sales leaders never had someone really sit down and explain to them, here's how you do it.
Yeah.
Here's how you make it successful. It's an ongoing process. It's not a once a year we check off a box and throw it in a file, so that if HR says, are you doing your evaluation? Yeah, I did my evaluation. Yeah. You know, if everybody just reached out, if they know that their company, they have to do their annual evaluation for their people next month, if they reached out and took the time and said, Pratik, how do I make this successful? You know, I don't want to just check off a box. You wouldn't be getting 70% of the people saying it's a wasted process.
Absolutely.
Nobody's teaching everybody how to do that.
Yeah. I wish that organizations would, yes, do the annual performance reviews, but tie it in to a quarterly review. Like, for example, you know, I mean, the first quarter has just like gotten over. By the second week of the new quarter, you should be talking about what happened. You should be evaluating what happened, not only from a percentage to goal. I mean, hopefully, of course, you know, that you've gone beyond, hasn't gone beyond your quota, but in terms of the other aspects of it. And these other aspects are, you know, things like, you know, I mean, which other team member did you really help? Which other team member did, you know, as in, were you really able to help achieve their goals? Things like, you know, what pipeline do you have, but what pipeline of that is actually applicable to, you know, to this particular quarter? I think one of the biggest questions is, how are you helping your clients succeed? And everyone feels that, hey, I have them in my pipeline, and that means that they're going to buy my product, which means that they will succeed. No. How are you truly helping your clients succeed? Absolutely. You know, I mean, how are you truly helping your clients succeed? Do you know what their goals are?
it's not about a $1 million pipeline that you've been able to create. Does that $1 million truly translate into them reaching their goals? And if not, maybe there's something more to it. So I wish like a lot more organizations would, yes, have their annual performance reviews, but break it down into quarterly reviews that then tie into the annual goal.
Yeah, I imagine when you work with a manager, you're showing them how to look at that pipeline and help those clients and have those conversations, as opposed to a manager that just looks, oh, you got $1 million in your pipeline, life is good, and let's move on to the next thing. So Pratik, this has been a lot of fun. We've got some really good things. Hopefully some of the people listening are going to say, you know what? I do need to talk to someone. You know, I want to be a better manager. I'm not getting the help right where I'm at now. How do people reach out to you? Where do they find you? And how do they get started with something like this?
Yeah. So most first line managers don't really get the help, you know, that they need. That's for sure. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm fairly active there. I accept every invitation. And if there's anybody else that wants to connect with me, I'm there. The website is managerenablement.com. I have my contact details there too. And, you know, in like terms of, you know, how do they really start? Honestly, the first thing is really just about getting to know them. So yes, you know, we'll have that first 1 hour conversation where it's really just about understanding them and what their goals are, what they really want to achieve, and why is this the right time? You know, once we're able to understand that is when I would be able to assess if what I'm offering, which is the connection to these sales leaders, if that could really be a value add to them. And if it is, then absolutely, you know, let me go to the next step.
Fantastic. It sounds like what you're doing with them, you're hoping maybe 6 months later, they're doing that with all the people they're working with, right? Because they're learning how to find out, you know, what's important to the people I manage and how I can help them.
So, absolutely.
Good stuff. It's been a lot of fun. I really appreciate your time today. And we're going to be built. We have a new segment that's going to be starting this summer with Talk It Out. Okay, Boomer, Talk It Out segments. I got to figure out how to market it, but I'm really excited about it. So hopefully you can come back and join one of those panels and talk a little bit more about this.
I'd be happy to. Thank you so much for having me here today.
So that's it. That's today's show. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to subscribe and follow. We hope you make us a part of your week. And don't forget to share with your friends and coworkers.
Should we mention the website?
Sure, the website, okboomerteachmesales.com.
And where can they engage with us?
LinkedIn @Thomas J. Bloomer.
We hope to see you there.